It's the Blunt Canvas.
You see, we have ulterior motives here at the Blunt Canvas, you know.
And you know it.
Let's make it happen.
With DCST.
People are sitting up here, you know, being blind and oblivious to the bullshit that's happening in our country, and then not trying to take action until that shit hits home.
It's going to come down to the everyday man to make a change. It's not going to be the quote-unquote leaders or, you know, the athletes or, you know, the entertainers.
I mean, because my mom tells me stories about different doctors who find cures for different diseases and things, and she always tells me that, you know, they either run them out of town, or, you know, they pay them off, they get rid of them because they cure people.
You ever notice, like, when something like major going on in sports, they like throw out like a sentencing of a cop that got off, but it'd be like going on doing, like, you know, game 7 of the NBA finals, like Super Bowl.
Yeah, all the cops got away with the murder. NBA finals coming up next.
And now, ECST.
I feel it coming. I feel it coming, baby.
I feel it coming.
I feel it coming.
I feel it.
I feel it coming, baby.
Hello, ST. How you doing, man?
Man, I'm chilling. EC, how you feeling, man?
Man, dude, I'm loving life, man. Trying to make it. Trying to live another day. You know, no kind of fucking drama.
Yeah.
Man, that shit's just tough, dog. But, you know, we are here trying to make it, man. Man, how was your past weekend?
Man, it was pretty straight, you know, another weekend. It was, of course, too short, but, you know, what can you do about that, really?
Man, shit, man. Say that shit again, dog.
Yeah.
Man, dog. Like I used to say in the past, man, at, like, every Sunday, when the sun started going down, I cuss every single time. I'd be like, fuck! I just see the sun go down. I'm like, fuck, man. Like, please, rise up, man, a little bit, man. Give some time, man. It's like a prisoner. Like, going towards his, like he eating his last meal, knowing he about to, you know, go to the death chamber, man. Like, shit. But, yeah, man, I feel you, man. But over the weekend, I went and saw Logan, man, and I highly recommend going to see Logan.
Okay.
Dude, I'm talking about when they gave it a rated R, they made sure they used up all of it to make sure it was at a rated R, dog. I'm telling you. Like, including the first scene, man. The first scene sets the movie off. So, I highly recommend y'all go see it. It's the best X-Men movie, period.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not even an understatement. I don't overhype stuff. I just keep it real. Like, it was one part. It was one part of the movie where Wolverine was doing something, and I just screamed out, "Let's go!" And then, everybody around me looked at me like I was crazy because I was that hyped. I was that hyped at that moment. I screamed. I haven't screamed that loud before in my life, and everybody was looking at me like I was crazy. Man, that's how hype that movie, that's how hype and gory that movie was, man. Like every, like, death, every death that happened between, like, Wolverine and the little girl, it was like, oh, shit, that's how brutal the deaths were, man. So, it's more than that, it's like a kind of a, it touched on Wolverine's softer side.
Yeah,
and it kind of just go see it. If y'all ever read the comics Old Man Logan, it's loosely based off of that. But man, it was good. I will go see it again. I rarely see movies twice. Like, the only movies I've seen twice are I seen Avatar twice. What the fuck that else I see twice? Dark Knight twice.
Yeah, that was worth it.
And I forgot, it was like one other movie when I saw it twice, but I'm definitely going to see that. I would definitely go see that again. Somebody's like, hey, you want to go see Logan again? I'm like, hell yeah, let's go see that shit. But yeah, man, that shit was good, dude. Man, other than that, man, you know, the weekend had, you know, the NFL combine, you know what I'm saying? So I was like, you know, watching that shit on my phone, and, you know, watching that shit at home whenever I got home. And I saw homeboy, whatever, dude named Jalen Ross, he run like a 4.22.
John Ross.
So John Ross run a 4.22. Now, remember, Adidas was going to give the person that ran the fastest 40 either an island or $1 million.
Yeah.
The nigga fucked up because he didn't wear the shoes.
Yeah, well, see, the thing is, though, he said he was going to wear his Nikes. So, if you think about it, he might get a better deal with Nike.
Oh, he signed with Nike, but I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if I don't know if it's $1 million deal.
See, there you go, though. Yeah. But the point is, he got his foot in the door.
Yeah, exactly.
No pun intended.
But that's pretty much fine. Cause nobody really wants a fucking island anyway. I'd rather have.
Yeah, like what can you do with that?
Nah, man, shit. I'd be like, what's the value of that island? Like $3 million. Okay, let me sell. All right, can I just sell that shit? Like, you know. whoever can have it, Jan, put my fucking name on it.
It's probably, it's probably blank. It's probably bare. Like, there's probably nothing there. Like, you would have to buy stuff to put, you know, to actually put stuff on it. And, you know, and just to say you got an island just for the sake of it, that's kind of, you know, kind of whack, really, if you think about it. Because, you know, don't nobody care. So.
Nobody cares about that kind of stuff. It's kind of like a novelty.
Yeah, it is.
Let's just say something that you have, man. Like, nobody has time for that, man. It's in this kind of economy, even for, like, football players about to get paid. But.
Yeah, because you ain't even guaranteed to make it out your rookie contract.
Yeah, sure not, man. Miles Garrett, he impressed.
Yeah.
Deshaun Watson, he had a great combine, but he's still not even considered. It's crazy because he's not even considered like the number one quarterback to NFL Network, like Deshaun Kaiser.
No, yeah, not at all.
They're number one.
Yeah.
And ESPN, Mitch Trubisky is their number one. So.
Yeah, a couple people on ESPN have been, you know, saying that he's either a second or third round pick. And just, you know, just looking at his mechanics, man, I don't see what they're seeing. But, you know, his Dabo Sweeney told him, all right, y'all gonna mess around and, you know, y'all gonna do like the Trailblazers did and miss on MJ.
Yep. We'll definitely see, man. But, man, it's nothing can replace winning.
Yeah.
Have that winner's mentality.
Yeah.
No matter if he's inaccurate or, you know, so he might. He did throw a lot of picks.
Yeah, he
does know how to win, man. That's kind of player I would like to see, because I saw one draft, mock draft, him going to the Cardinals, which would be excellent. Yeah. So he can sit behind Carson at least like one more year.
Yeah, and learn.
Yeah, and learn, dude. Or he don't need to go nowhere and start. I don't think any of them need to go and start anywhere.
No. But see, that's the thing, though. Wouldn't you want a quarterback who knows how to win instead of one who doesn't throw picks? When the big game's on the line, you want the kid that knows how to win rather than the guy who's never thrown a pick in a crucial situation because he's never been in a crucial situation.
Yeah, that's why the Buffalo Bills brass want to see what Cardale Jones can do and want to get rid of Tyrod Taylor, because when Cardale Jones played the big games, he balled out, but when he played the regular season games, it was like night and day, though.
Yes, it was.
Man, that shit was not looking good for him at all. But also, it was kind of funny, man. Deion Sanders told a story about his draft process where he met with the Giants.
Yeah.
And he said he went to the room and the Giants, like, laid down, like, a big old, like, textbook, like, a big-ass textbook in front of, like, the size of, like, a like Yellow Pages.
Yeah.
And, well, Yellow Pages, y'all don't know, fucking millennials, y'all know what Yellow Pages is.
That's technically us, too.
Yeah, but we know what Yellow Pages are. We know what Yellow Pages are. But Yellow Pages are where they have pretty much the whole directory for the city in a big-ass book. So it'd be like every phone number in your city there. So they could be
what they call a phone book.
Yeah, from a call phone book, pretty much, where they have stuff from, like, you know, Jim's Pork Shop, shit like that in there, or like a Janice Mechanic, all the other shit. They have a book like that. So he said they put the book in front of him, and then it was like, this is a test. He's like, hold on. He's like, what pick y'all got? He's like, they said we have the 10th pick. He's like, man, I'm gonna be gone before y'all even pick me, man. I got time for this. And he said he left.
Like, I can't say I blame him.
Yeah, dude, I can't blame him, man. Like, that dude was cocky as hell, but he can back it up, though.
Yeah, I'm about to say, when you know it, though, you kind of have a slick right to be. Like, and in his position, I can see that, because I would have did the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't blame that nigga at all for that.
Yeah, man, Deion definitely was that dude, man, back in the day. And it's just he can do everything. He like Swiss Army knife, man. He can do everything. But some of the players that intrigue me that I want for my team, man, I want Jabril Peppers really, really bad, but he gonna be gone by the time he gets to us.
Yeah.
He's from Michigan and he played like linebacker, but he's gonna play safety. We need a safety to go next to Eric Weddle. It's funny as hell because the corner that we're all projected to get, like almost everybody have us predicted to get this Florida cornerback. How about that motherfucker ran a 4.6? I was like, oh no! I was like, oh no!
Oh no!
Will you not be on my spot? No. Yeah. Even if he like, he can't fix that at the pro day, man. That's his speed because he.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, he did a 4.64 and a 4.66, and I was like, "Nope, you will not be a Raven. We ain't on top of that shit."
That's not something that's cosmetic, nigga.
And then, like, it was crazy because Charles Davis and Daniel Jeremiah was like, "Man, he's about to clean it up at the his pro day." I'm like, "What the fuck are you clean up? Like, seriously? You know, like inject some shit into your hamstrings? Like, no, man, that's your speed." But I didn't know Joe Hayden ran a 4.6 at the combine.
Wow.
Yeah, he ran a 4.6 at the combine, and he is done in too, man. The quote-unquote shutdown corners that everybody calls shutdown be getting done in by premier receivers, man. Like, the only dude that was shut down was Revis at his prime. Everybody else was are not shutdown corners. And y'all know which corners I hate. I fucking hate Patrick Peterson. That motherfucker's a fraud. Joe Hayden's okay with me. And then I forgot, it's like one more corner that they call shutdown that's not. I can't remember, but one dude that is good is Vontae Davis. He don't get the shine that he deserves. He balls out, and nobody talks about him enough. But this draft is looking real deep at corner.
It is.
And it's looking real good at wide receiver, and we need a number one wide receiver because Bashar Perriman just definitely not working out. He'll probably end up being a number two because I think that knee injury he had in training camp really set him back, man. So we'll probably be done with him after his rookie contract, man. It's hard to say, man, but this is a business.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? And our coach ain't trying to get fired because he kind of on the hot seat. After this year, he'll be on the hot seat. I give him at least 2 more years, man. He got us a chip. But, yeah, man, I enjoyed the combine. Oh, let me talk about this motherfucker. Let's talk about Christian McCaffrey. Talk about how about this punk-ass dude? Put up 225 10 times.
Yeah.
Did you see his video when he did it?
No.
His back was shaking on the first rep.
Wow.
Yeah, dude. Like, his whole back was just shaking. And I was like, come on, Porky. How are you going to get? Because, like, his whole, like, his traps were not defined at all. They were, like, real flabby. You can kind of tell the dude doesn't really work out.
Yeah.
But everybody's saying he's pretty much like a Reggie Bush type. He'll be like Reggie Bush, where he can pretty much be like a do everything kind of back for you.
Right.
But yeah, I know. He's going to be a Patriot. And then the Patriots are going to get everything out of him they want and then trade him off when he has trade value and not pay him. Yep. They don't pay nobody.
Nope.
Yeah, I definitely see him as being being a Patriot. But what's up with Mike Glennon, man, getting all this?
I don't know, man. I think it says $16 million a year for a backup?
A backup. And if y'all don't know who we're talking about, it's a backup for Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Buccaneers are about to pay him $14 to $16 million just to stay because they don't want him to leave. But he's about to test out free agency. He's only throwing 11 passes, dog.
Yeah.
Regular season passes in the league. He's 10 for 11. So I don't know who somebody's going to take a chance on. So I cannot wait to see which quarterback the Jets take, and I hope they take Jay Cutler so they can continue to be mediocre, dude. I hope they take Jay Cutler, man, and just keep on taking chances because it's going to be crazy. Oh, yeah, another report I saw that was funny as shit was a source, you know how they had these sources or whatever, but this source said that people in the front office for the Washington Redskins think that they could win with Colt McCoy.
Wow.
Yes. When I saw that, I was like, huh, man, pay the man. He's not a top 10 quarterback. No, everybody knows it. But what is your alternative?
He's a franchise quarterback, but he's not top 10. So
no, top 10, no.
Which means he's doable. He can get you to the playoffs, but as far as getting you over the hump, you're going to need something else. And that's the thing. I don't think they really want to realize that. And the fact that they gave Jay Gruden an extension is, you know, kind of baffles me, because it's like, okay, what has he done? He hasn't done anything yet. Like, he still can't get his defense correct.
Yeah, he got an extension, and the GM about to get fired because he had alcohol issues. Yeah, so they said he'll get fired after the draft.
Because he didn't even show up to the combine.
Nope, he didn't show up to the combine. He has a huge drinking issue.
That's 75% of your job.
Yeah, dude. Pretty much the off season is where you shine, nigga. Like, where are you? But it's crazy how a vice like alcohol can stop you from making millions of dollars.
Yeah.
You'd rather tilt your head back and flip that bottle than to just put that bitch down for a minute.
Yeah.
And all you're doing, you evaluating talent, man. You know how many motherfuckers will like get their left ball sack to be a GM of an NFL team to get paid millions?
Yeah.
Dude, you know, like, motherfuckers right now that's doing sales jobs that don't want to fucking do them, or doing like third shift jobs they want to do just to survive, doing bullshit, man. And these dudes up here fucking off, man. I don't understand that shit, dude.
Perfect example of that, Johnny Manziel, you know, pretty much had the world in his hands. You know, what did he do? You know, it's sometimes that privilege, I guess, gives you reason to throw it all away or risk throwing it all away just because you don't appreciate it. Pretty much no excuse for that, man. He's got to, you know, come to terms with himself. Hopefully he can get himself together. And, you know, who knows? Maybe within 3 months he'll get another GM job, because you know it's going to happen.
Oh, yeah, dude. Because he is a good GM, but he don't have to get that alcohol issue under wraps, man. That's why I'm glad I don't drink.
Yeah.
So I have a real big addictive personality, so I'm glad I don't even put that junk in my damn circle, dude. I'd be fucked up, man, if I drink. So I'm glad I don't do that shit. But, man, anything else from the weekend have for you, man?
Just taking care of home, man. You know, stuff like that. That's about it.
Oh, yeah, dude. That's very important. Hey, man, you hear about that, you hear about that new condom that came out? It's called the iCondom.
No.
Oh, okay. So there's a new condom that's coming out where you can pretty much sync the condom up to your app on your phone.
What?
Yeah, listen to this. And it captures the warmth of your genitals, and then it calculates the velocity of your thrust. And then they're gonna put it up. On like a world, like all your stats will be up on their website, so you can compare yourself to the world. They got like a world leaderboard, so you know some women's vaginas are gonna be getting freaking destroyed because dudes trying to break a record.
Like, why?
Like, dudes gonna be like. Harnessing themselves like a slingshot and like, stand still, baby. And like, throwing themselves to some fucking vagina, dude. That's such a fucking novelty, man. they don't even need it.
No, it's not. That's just stupid.
Yeah, it's stupid shit, but I laugh my ass off when I read it. Velocity of thrust. I'm like, what? Some dude's just trying to just get it in. They ain't worried about all that jump. They're just trying to get there. They don't even care about all that.
It's stupid, man.
Yeah, it's definitely stupid, man. Let's go ahead and start this show. Welcome, everybody, to another great episode of the Blank Canvas Podcast. We are a topical podcast that comes on every Wednesday, 6 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on your favorite worldwide podcasting services, which is iTunes, Stitcher, Audiomatic, and YouTube. And you can also follow us on your favorite social media sites on Twitter at Blank Canvas ECST. On Instagram at Blank Canvas ECST. And shit, that's about it, man. So let's go ahead and get to the news.
Let's get it.
about the worldwide leader in sports, man. It's about to start laying people off, dog.
Yeah, I believe it.
And I'm talking about on-air personalities that we see every day is about to get fired. So ESPN will lay off some of the personalities who appear on TV, radio, and online.
Mm.
Say the cuts only affect talent, not rank and file employees, according to the sources. So the details are still being finalized, but layoffs are expected to take place through June. No announcement has been made about which personalities will be affected. It seems those with contracts up for renewal may be cut first.
Mm.
It said ESPN may also buy out some contracts that aren't ending soon.
Wow.
See, we have long been about serving fans and innovating and create the best content for them, ESPN said in a statement. Today's fans consume content in many different ways. We are in a continuous process of adapting to change and improving what we do. Inevitably, that has consequences for how we utilize our talent. We are confident that ESPN will continue to have the roster talent that is unequaled in sports.
So in layman's terms, y'all niggas ain't watching Sports Center no more. So we gonna fire all these people that you know and just put up some new niggas that you don't know and y'all won't know the difference.
Exactly, man. Keep it real, man. ESPN, with all the new studios that they put up and all, yeah. They got their hands. They had their portfolio so diversified, man. They got to bring this shit back in, and then now they're noticing it.
Yeah, all the money that they've wasted.
Yeah, dude, they wasted on some people. Like, some people that I know for sure are gone just by looking at them. Shoot. I forgot. It's a black dude. I know he probably going to be gone. It's another girl. L. Duncan, she gone.
Mm.
Bucci Mane, they're safe.
John Buccigross.
Yeah, he's safe. He's been there. He's been there for a while.
Yeah, him and Neil Everett.
The LA team, they're safe.
Yeah, yeah.
Jamel Hill, Michael Smith, they're safe.
They just got that job.
That would be so fucked up if they got fired. Now they just got that shit.
Yeah.
Kerry Champion just renewed her contract. She just renewed it last. It was like 4 months ago she renewed her contract. So shit. She
I don't know. Up. Yeah, she could be out of there.
She could be out of there, man. Cause
Jay Crawford might be gone.
Yeah.
Mike Golick? He might be gone because you know.
Oh yeah, no, yeah. Mike and Mike is
yeah.
Ending anyway, so he's gone.
Yeah.
So his son is gone.
Dang, you think so?
Hell yeah, man. Only reason he got a job because his dad there. I ain't even hate y'all, man.
Let's just keep
this shit 100, man. He got that job. You don't come right out of college. I don't care if you did come out of Notre Dame. You came right out of college and you own TV and you got your own radio show.
Yeah.
And your dad works for ESPN and like you own TV discussing shit and you just got out of college? No. This ain't the 1980s, like when they first started this Chris Berman, dog. They always got talent everywhere trying to get on.
But the thing though is that, you know, even though he's just out of college, he's still kind of fresh. So you already know they're not really paying him very much. So, you know, why wouldn't he not stay?
They may keep him if he, you're right. Cause they don't really gonna go after the people that's been there for a while.
Yeah.
Bomani's safe.
Yeah, I think so as well.
Even though nobody really listens to his radio show, I don't listen to it cause it come on at a weird time.
The right time with Bomani.
But y'all, yeah, definitely go check him out. I think it's at like 4:30.
Something like that.
Yeah, man, it's at 4:30, man. You know, I knew who I missed being on the radio, but he on First Take now. Max Kellerman, man. I love he was on LA, man. And they got him off the radio. Now he on First Take. Those two are safe. And then the host, the female that hosts the show, she's safe.
Yeah,
like that's like almost the whole squad. Somebody gotta go. Like,
what you think about Chris Berman? You think he gone?
He retired.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
okay.
So he retired, so he's already done.
you know what? It'd be funny to see if they got rid of Stephen A. Smith.
Dude, I would lose my shit. But the thing about it is, man, he has such a huge following. Like Fox Sports want to pick him up. I mean, he'd be picked up in an instant, man. He knows it, so
yeah.
Yeah, man. Plus, they moved First Take to ESPN.
Yep.
So it's no longer ESPN too. So because the ratings have been high, so people watching that shit with that coon ass nigga. But But yeah, he has a huge following just because of him talking fast. I don't mean to cause any aspersions on you. Any aspersions. So like,
yeah.
Like, dude, that's your favorite word, nigga. Like, come on.
What about Linda Cohn? You think she gonna stay?
She been there a while. They might just tell her, man, pack it on up. She's been there a long time.
Yes,
she was there when Rich Eisen was there. Rich Eisen been going
yes.
a while. what's that lady, man? Shit. She does face-to-face.
Face-to-face.
Dang it, man. She might be going. She's getting a little bit long in the tooth because they bringing in young females, dude.
Yeah.
You know she feeling the heat.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, feeling the heat on that shit. So she definitely might be out of there. But it's going to be some surprises, man. So people that get kicked off. And then once they get kicked out, you never hear from them again because I don't watch any other sports channels but ESPN and NFL Network.
Yeah.
I don't watch like Fox Sports 1. I can't be flipping between channels when I like the format for ESPN. I like it.
Well, that's the thing, man. Like I think if you watched Fox Sports 1, you would like it.
Oh, yeah, I gave it a shot one time. I didn't like it. It was like one dude like a peacock and like he was just trying to just be too extra and I was just like, nah, man, I'm out.
I'm sure they got rid of him because ever since, you know, they start, you know, collecting all these ESPN rejects, they've been getting pretty hot. Like, you know, cause your boy, you know, Chris Broussard is over there.
Hey man, that's why I need to watch.
Yeah. Shannon Sharp is over there. Skip Bayless is over there. And to be honest, I like Undisputed more than I like First Take anyway. So, cause you know, yeah, Shannon Sharp always keeps it real no matter what. It don't, you know, he don't play for, you know, the others. He don't tap dance. You know, he tells you how he feel when he feel it. And he don't care, you know, what you think. And that's what I like about him. They give you, I guess, what you need to hear as well as, you know, what you want to hear. So, I don't know, man. I've slowly been making the transition.
Oh, shit. No more.
Like, besides, like, you know, the updates on my phone. But, yeah, that's about it.
And, I feel you, man. It's always definitely good for a change, man. But yeah. Skip Bayless still on that Tebow train and LeBron hating?
Nah, he ain't talking about Tebow no more. I don't think anybody talks about Tebow anymore.
I was like, yeah, that's true. He would be like the last one to do it.
Pretty much.
He was riding that dude dick all the way to the sunset. That shit was ridiculous, man. Shit. Even Tim Tebow was like, man, I'm trying to stay a virgin, man. Stop. Get off me.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man. Man, ESPN used to be hot.
Yeah, it did.
It used to be hot, man. And I just don't know what happened, dude. I think, like they said, man, there's other ways to get content now, man. There's YouTube, yeah. There's Twitter, there's Instagram. There's so many ways to get your to Bleacher Report. Bleacher Report had their own little cartoons and
yeah, they blowing up.
Yeah, Bleacher Report blowing up. Hell yeah, man. They be on it too. Like when shit drops, your phone go off, dude. They don't play. Cause it's all about any form of news, man. Like being first is everything.
Yeah,
that's everything, man. Even if it's sometimes it's not accurate. That's why, like when mass shootings happen, man. CNN try to be the first one there. And they'd be like, man, 100 people dead. And then, like, 5 minutes later, CNN would backtrack, like, oh, it's only 50. But they just want to be the first people to put it out.
Yeah.
Put it out there, man. So, yeah, that's a real tough business to be in. Because if you're not first, you're last.
Yeah.
And people are not going to find you as credible. Even though if you're first.
Yeah.
And this shit's not credible, they still think it is credible because you got it to them first. So they can just tell their friend. So, it's a very tough balance to act to handle, man, working in sports media, especially like with like Adam Schefter, Chris Broussard, Ian Rapoport. They were trying to be first on the reporting.
Bill Simmons,
MMQB, what's his name? Peter King.
Yep, Peter King.
He got on Bleacher Report. Illustrated. Oh yeah, Peter King got on Bleacher Report when Bleacher Report misquoted something he said. He got on him, dude, and they made him take the article down.
Yeah.
He's an old head, though, so you got to respect the old head. He's been in the game a long time.
Yeah, he's been in the game for a minute.
Hell yeah. My homeboy, what's that brother, man? That brother that be on ESPN. He writes for Sports Illustrated. I like him, too. But he, like, covers like, the Chargers every now and then, and he's, like, became part of the NFL cast. Oh, crap! I didn't think about them firing some of the NFL people, like some of the people that work, some of the like former players.
Oh now, yeah,
them niggas could be on. Them niggas could be gone. Damian Woody, nah.
Nah. I don't see them getting rid of him.
What about Merrill Hodge?
That's tough because Merrill is pretty good, man.
What about Jaws?
I could see them getting rid of Jaws.
They get rid of that guy that's co-hosting with John Gruden on Monday Night Football. He's not really good.
You tell him.
New guy. Exactly. You ain't know who he is. Exactly.
No, I don't. Yeah.
Exactly. He could be gone, dude. Because he real dull.
Yeah. Do you think they're going to get rid of Stink? What's his real name?
Nah, he good. I like Stink. Yeah, I like Stink.
Yeah. What's his face there? That used to be a giant.
Ryan Clark might be gone. Yeah, Antonio Pierce, he's there.
Yeah.
Every now and then they might let go of the bus. Pierce, they might let them go. They stay shaking up. NFL Countdown.
Yes, they Sunday. Do.
Yeah, they do, dude. Cause they get beat by NFL Network. Man, NFL Network has the best crew, man. The crew's better.
Yeah, it is. I think like every year for the past 5 or 6 years, they've been shaking it up so much. It's like, it's hard to even, you know, it's hard to know who's on the crew now.
Yeah, it's hard to compete, man, because the one thing I love about NFL Network is they're all close, and you can tell that they're close, and they're real friendly with each other.
Yeah.
And, like, the little games that they play, they always, like, play games, like, during the show, and they always be cheating. And I was like, man, stop cheating, man. Like, it's like watching your best friends.
Yeah.
Talk about football. They know what the fuck they talking about too, man. That's another thing, man. They go real in depth.
Yeah. Most of them are players and, you know, they don't have some know-it-all analyst who, you know, speculates all the time.
Exactly, man. Like Rich Eisen just gossip. He lets other people talk. He lets Mooch, Marshall, Kurt, and Michael just talk it out. And then Warren Sapp fucked it up with that prostitute. He could still be on the damn show making that money. Man, he can let that pussy fuck him up, man. He's so stupid. God, he's so stupid. And then they added Steve Smith. We'll see how that'll work.
I don't see that.
I don't see that lasting long, man.
No, man. Like, Steve is cool. He's not the on-air personality type for me. Like, I feel like I would get tired of watching him or listening to him talk.
Yeah, well, Maurice Jones-Drew got a job there, so why can't Steve
Yeah, but he's on there sparingly. And I think they gonna start fading that nigga out because he getting too big for TV.
Yeah, man, like shit. gotta step back, man. Like, pull back.
All right, Maurice, you got 3 weeks to lose 50 pounds. We gonna take you off the show. We can't handle it anymore.
Yeah, like give him like an absorbent stuff that he can't lose. Like, you know, Maurice, come here, so you know, get in my room, you know. You're going to have to lose this 100 pounds, you know, next 2 days, we're going to let you go. Like, what the fuck? Like, it's right here in the contract, the small print. Like, man, he's just getting too big, man. Like, what the fuck? Oh, man, I would lose my shit, man, if I was in that room hearing that junk. But, yeah, I think, like, I don't know how many NFL Network niggas get fired, but... I can never say they could go on, but they're all in on their feet, man. This everybody there is so freaking talented, and then they're already going to be up for grabs because Fox Sports 1 is trying to make that. They're trying to compete with ESPN, so they're going to just take them.
Yeah,
just they're going to be just like just filler. That's just like free agency is coming up. NFL free agency is coming up, man. It's just the same thing. Like when another team lets go of their talent, you're going to pick up their talent anyway, man. Just to fill holes. That's exactly what Fox Sports 1 going to do. They're going to fill some fucking holes whoever get fired.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Just like Mike Tirico, his sexual assault having ass got out. Now he on NBC. Like, dudes, like, these dudes transitioning out, man, because they had to pay for that new studio. That new studio cost them a lot of money. And it looks nice.
Yeah.
It looks real good, man. I have to literally like kind of like sit back and think about the old Sports Center desk now.
Yeah, how far they've come.
Yeah, they come a long way, man. I definitely enjoy it, man. But everybody landed on their feet, man. At ESPN, those people, they didn't get there by being lazy.
Yep.
So all of them would be straight, man. I ain't even worried about that shit, man. But it was just messed up that somebody like tweeted Jemele Hill talking about, I hope you get fired. Yeah, I was like, nigga, she just got that new segment, man. They ain't going nowhere, dude. No, they got at least 5 years.
Yeah, they going younger, and you know, however they can appeal more to the younger audience, that's the direction that they're going. And like it or not, Jemele Hill and Michael Smith and you know Mike Greenberg, they appeal to younger folk. They just gonna run with what works for them.
You ever heard it? Heard that story about Hugh Douglas and Michael Smith?
Yeah, you talk. Yeah, you
talk about that. Yeah, other times. Yeah. Making sure everybody heard.
Yeah.
Go to the archives, y'all. Like ST always stay on it, man. He always let me know if I said something I already said. I kind of listen to that shit, man. It's a funny ass story. Who gives a fuck? All right. let's talk about this Florida teacher. This Florida teacher was fired for putting one student in a rear naked chokehold and then hitting the second student with a flying knee. Like, dude, like you said, man, like, she watched too much, like, WWE Raw, dude.
Yeah.
Rear naked chokehold? I don't even know how to fucking do that shit.
Yeah.
But Lee Jermaine was fired. Well, she might have a future in MMA. A fifth grade teacher saw a kid sliding down, and we didn't listen. And what she was saying, she got him in a rear naked chokehold.
Like, okay, did it just look like it, or did she actually snap it in?
It says the rear naked chokehold. I want to see the video of that shit, because he knows somebody took a video.
Yeah. Because if she locked it in, then yeah, she deserves to be fired.
So you saying that if she didn't lock it in, she'll still be straight?
I think, yeah, if she just, you know, kind of shook him up, like, hey, stop, you know, wake him up, then I think she'd be all right. But, you know, if she locked that junk in, then yeah, she got to go. And plus, you know, giving the other kid a flying knee, that ain't cool either, so.
Yeah, man, the other kid was being disruptive and wouldn't be quiet and get hit in the flying knee, man. I definitely post y'all a link, because there is a video, and I'll post that link on our Twitter, man, so y'all can see it. But, dude, like, what? Like, schools are wilding out, man. Teachers are wilding out nowadays, man.
Yeah, they are.
Like, this one teacher, later with the, like, the 11-year-old, talking about I made him happy.
Mm.
And it was, like, this a white teacher. Yeah. There's other teacher laid up with, 2 weeks ago, this one teacher laid up with 3 football players.
Wow.
Yeah, dude. And she's just like, just don't tell nobody. I'm like, dude, you can't trust teenage kids and hormones. Especially when you got to share them, and they're going to be jealous, and they always going to want to be doing something. Always going to want to be in the action, is what we call it. You know what I'm saying? They always going to want to lay up. And she find out that you're doing somebody else, they're going to just tell. And no kid going to go that long without telling somebody, because kids don't know how to shut the hell up.
Yeah.
Man, we have a good thing going, which they don't understand. You just be quiet. Yeah, dude, but it's just crazy, man, how schools run today. I wouldn't even know, especially during the social media age, how school is now. Everybody got a cell phone. They got Snapchat, Twitter, and all that shit in school.
Yeah.
I do. I would never fail a test, dude. I'd be hitting people up on Twitter like, man, what's this, man? I'd be DM everybody. But yeah, I talked to my little cousin. I talked to my cousin because she's 11th grade. I was like, man, so what's up with y'all phones? Like, what do y'all do with y'all phones at school? Say you have to keep them in a locker. And the only time you can use them is really during lunch. And then you have to put them back up. If not, they get confiscated to the end of the day. And she said, if you bring it 3 times, they take it from you. And they give it to the parents or whatever. You got to sign or whatever to get it back.
Yeah.
But, man, going to school now, man, it's probably shit, probably fucking crazy, man, with cell phones, dude.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, man.
Well, you know, not just with teachers, you know, wilding out, but, you know, students now, you know, wilding out.
Oh, yeah.
Whether it be, you know, recording mischievous, you know, youngsters doing stuff, you know, to each other.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then, you know, having one party, you know, spreading, you know, the video or the footage out there. To the whole school and stuff like that,
exactly, ST. You know how devastating that would be if a girl was giving head to her boyfriend and he took a video of it. And then they broke up, and he spread that junk all over. Because it's happened.
Yeah.
It definitely happened in high school. He spread it all over the school. And now she's walking down the hallway, and people making sucking noise. It's like, hey, am I next? Like, man, that's got to be devastating, man.
Right, because, like, you know, and, you know, it's funny. Somebody asked me, you know, what would I do if that was my daughter? Like, how would I be able to, you know, console her? Like, how could you deal with that? So, yeah, I guess my best answer was, well, look, you only got 3 more years left at this school.
You wouldn't move for ST? You wouldn't move
for ST? I mean, I would try to do, you know, all that I could, you know, that was, you know, feasibly possible.
I would be disappointed, man.
Yeah, I would too.
Christ.
But, you know, at the end of the day, when you graduate, you know, you graduate. And, you know, all that other stuff don't matter no more unless, you know, you happen to go off to college and, you know, you see some of the same people that you went to high school there. So
that is a nightmare, dude.
But other than that, after high school, you know, it don't matter no more. It ceases to exist unless you, you know, go to college and you still exhibit some of the same behavior. But, you know, it's crazy now because kids now can get away with more stuff, you know. Whereas, you know, back when we were in high school, like, you could probably get corporal punishment and, you know, and be all right. Like, you didn't have, you know, the teacher didn't have to worry about losing his or her job because they, you know, disciplined one of their students. And that's the thing. We as America we've gotten so rigid to the point where other people aren't allowed to help us raise our kids, especially when, you know, when they're in the wrong. And that's the thing, like, now you can be in the wrong and still win a court case because that's just how stupid, you know, this country's gotten.
Yeah, man.
But
can't touch kids.
No, at all.
Can't say nothing to them.
Like, you can't touch your own kids.
Yeah, man. Right. Can't categorize your kids. Like, I'm trans. Like, no, you're a girl. I'm going to call the cops. I'm like, what's going on? Like, this, man, it's getting to the point where everything you say, especially if you're a blunt person, you don't really give a fuck what people say.
Yeah.
Like, everything you say will be questioned.
Yeah.
It will be critiqued.
And or used against you.
Yep, you can't say anything jokingly nowadays. People are talking about, man, it's hate speech, man. It's hate speech.
Yeah.
Like, can't even breathe. Like, dude, you're infringing on my privacy, man. Like, what? Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, it's getting crazy, man. But that's just the world we live in, man. Yeah, man. What you got, dog?
You know, right in Atlanta, within the last couple weeks, 4 Atlanta area mosques have received death threats from people, you know, I get scared to, you know, to exist in the same country. More Islamic hate, you know, basically people are, you know, sending letters and, you know, burning the mosques and things, man, like setting these places ablaze. Just because they don't believe in, you know, how they worship, which is crazy. Man, I was sitting here, I was looking at, you know, one of the letters from, you know, one of the people, and on the letter there's a like a index card. It's a little index card.
Post-it note? No,
it's an index card. It's posted inside of the note. It says, and I quote, "Death is waiting for you and your kind." Like, they wrote that on the index card.
Well, welcome to black people, shit, circa 1890s, 1890s until now.
Yeah.
Welcome to the club, man. I ain't trying to be like callous or
1770s.
Hell yeah, man. Like, shit. Like, just welcome to our reality.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
It's crazy, man. More people are carrying out this hate, man. And see, that's what's so hypocritical about this, you know, this country, though. Mm. It's like people will blast you for, you know, I guess sharing your feelings about how you feel with the whole LGBTQ community, But then people of that same ilk will go and, you know, trash someone of the Islamic faith and nobody says anything. Yeah, but, you know, it's accepted, though, by, you know, the president and, you know, those who think like him, too. I don't know, man.
Like we said in the past, we said multiple times, man, Trump has emboldened these racists.
Yeah.
And he will continue to embolden them as long as he stays in office. And the more laws, the more travel bans that he passed, and whatever he about to do to Chicago, because that shit's coming, man. Like, it's about to get thick, man. And people just need to start protecting themselves.
Yeah.
And, man, getting ready for this fight, man. It's about to be one. I ain't trying to be a conspiracy theorist, man. Like, if you do, you see the writings on the wall. If you don't see it now,
it's written. In plain English, like there is no more reading between the lines. Like, the lines are it. Like, that's you're reading everything that they're saying, and, you know, and people every day are still being surprised by what new thing is coming up, when, you know, from the beginning you were told what was going to happen.
Yeah, man, he wasn't playing, dude.
No, he's not. And, you know, people, you know, still aren't taking things serious. But, you know, to the people, you know, of the Islamic faith, you know, who are experiencing this, you know, horrific act of being threatened by, you know, jackasses that, you know, aren't, you know, sensitive enough to care about, you know, who you are as a person. We here at the Blank Canvas, we just want to, you know, tell y'all to keep your head up. Don't allow the hate and anger, you know, to consume you. Because, you know, next thing you know, you'll be reacting, you know, the way that they want you to. And exactly. Then that'll just give them, you know, the first and most important reason to just go ahead and take you out. So.
Yep. It's all they want. They want you to retaliate so they can retaliate.
Yeah.
That's it, man. They're just waiting to, like, do something.
Yeah.
That's all they're waiting on. But, everybody get on that Trump train, man.
Yeah.
And just riding this shit to the wheels broke on fall off. Speaking of trains, we're going to talk about this little coon that will be on the coon train, Ben Carson. listen to what this motherfucker said. This motherfucker said, slaves were immigrants who came here and worked really hard for less.
Mm.
I shouldn't even read the rest of this bullshit.
Go ahead.
Ben Carson. Like, say, Ben Carson made his debut as the Secretary of House Housing and Urban Development on Monday, telling agency employees about the virtues of a can-do American society. Carson said the value system was best exemplified by slaves, whom he characterized as immigrants who came to the United States with very little and worked very hard. Oh, okay, so yeah, we just hopped on the slave boats. I'm like, oh, okay, where I need to sit? Oh, right by the malaria? Oh, okay, right by the, by the smoke? Yeah, man, I'll sit right here. Oh, we're not going to pay me? Oh, yeah, man. It's all right. We'll do this for free, man. We're just that loving kind of people. Oh, you're going to split up our family? Oh, you're going to fuck my wife? Oh, you're gonna split us up and make us hate each other because of the skin tone, our color of our skin tone, because the light ones are inside and the dark ones are outside? Oh, that's fine. You're going to sneak outside while we're asleep and fuck my wife and have a kid and not take care of the kid that claim it? Oh, okay, that's fine. Like, dude, like, where did this come from? I know he didn't believe this shit. Ain't no way.
He works for the others.
Oh yeah, most definitely, dude.
So, you know, he's gonna do, you know, whatever he has to do in order to stay in their good graces. More than likely, you know, he has too much pride for standing up for what's right, and, you know, living the true American dream, which is, you know, doing what you got to do, working hard so that you can sustain the kind of life that you want to live. He wants to be in that 1%, and, you know, he's pretty much going to do what he tells him.
Yeah, so. They don't make it so bad, man. Even if you do sell your soul or sell out, man, they still see you as a nigga, man.
Yeah.
They still see you as a nigga, dude, in the end. And they hate you the most because you betrayed your own people.
Yeah,
that's the one thing that the others don't do. They do not portray their own. They don't talk about their own with other races. and they don't stay, they don't talk down about their own, you know, with other races, and they stick up for their own, even if they're wrong.
Yeah.
And then he come out to say that's what America is about. Carson said, a land of dreams, opportunities. There were only immigrants who came here in the bottom of slave ships, worked even longer, even harder for less. For less, you didn't get nothing.
No, at all. Like, we barely got scraps that we were, you know, able to conjure up into food. Like,
well, soul food came from, because we got pretty much the leftovers of what them motherfuckers ate, man. That's why we're eating, like, pig's feet and chitlins and all that. We had to eat what they wouldn't eat. This guy probably need to go in a time machine, put in a time machine and be kicked back to slavery. He would be right there with him, and he'd be like, you know who I am? I'm an educated black man. I'm like, get your ass in line, nigga, pick this cotton.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'd be like, what? He'd be like, bruh?
Yeah. Yeah. The saddest thing is, man, is that he's so intelligent, but he's not intelligent enough to see that they're using him. And when they're done,
he playing the game, man.
He is.
He a coon, man. Coons get paid. Cooning gets paid nowadays, man. And that's the only way that you can keep your head above water if you're a black man surrounded by all the white people is to coon. That's the only way to survive, dude. You can't come to them on the same level intellectually. They'll freaking destroy you. So you gotta coon. And some of them dudes, like, they coon just to get by. Some of them dudes are, like, 100% thoroughbred coons, man.
Yeah,
dude. And then what else this asshole said? He said there were other immigrants who came here at the Bible station, yada, yada, yada. But he said, but they too had a dream that one day their sons, daughters, grandsons, granddaughters, great-grandsons, great-great-granddaughters might pursue prosperity in the land of happiness. See, this statement is so fucking, it's so much full of fuckery.
Yeah.
Because we first of all, we did not come over here on our own choice. We had a place where we were living, but we were fine with. And we had our own educational system, we had everything that was going for us, and we had our own kind of social structure that we were working on in that society, and it was just all just taken from us. You're talking about nobody was on that fucking slave ship talking about my great 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 granddaughter is gonna make something of herself, and I'm gonna sacrifice it by working for free picking fucking cotton.
Yeah,
and we off this shit, man. Fuck this nigga, man.
Oh my god, like real quick.
Yeah.
Look up this nigga's wife.
Ah, she white. Is she white? Yeah, no. She black, but she looks horrible. I know. She looks fucking horrible, dude. Like a fucking damn chia pet. Let me see. White. Yeah, she looks real ragged, dude. He had no chance of being a president, man, because the first wife, she's been the ugliest first wife in history, dog. Yeah, Candy Carson. Okay, she looked that bad back in the day, though.
No, not back in the day.
No, not back in the day. Yeah, she looked like a... She looked all right. All right, sister, I see you.
It's stupid, nigga.
But a fucking hell in the handbasket now, man. Look at this shit.
He would have had no chance to be president.
She the kind of bitch when she goes to a fucking buffet and be like, you done? She'd be like, no. Man, she look rough. Dog, put the fork down, baby. Dog, oh, when I get that old and I have my wife would be looking that rugged. God damn.
What can you do?
You can't leave her. All you do is just like look at her and be like, well, you let yourself go, huh? Shit.
It's one picture where she's wearing a blazer. And like,
oh gosh, yeah. No, I see it, dude. This junk looks fucking like bucked out. She have her head to the side. She got a triple chin action going on. Sorry, y'all, man. She had nothing to do with this, man.
Oh, God.
Yeah, he had no chance just off of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Because, you know, like, every president, they have, like, a consultant, you know, somebody work on their image.
Yeah.
And he like walked in and saw her, and they probably was like, I can see what I can do.
This is gonna be a long shot.
Yeah, this is gonna be, man, you really, they earn my check, huh, Ben?
Oh god,
shit. Oh man, no, I'm gonna get off her mission. Still the man.
Hey, y'all, you know what? 2017 needs to be the year of more laughter. Like, every day, you should be able to get some more laughter. So, yeah, I encourage you all to go to Google and Google Ben Carson's wife. And I guarantee you, you will laugh just as hard as we just did.
That made my day.
It's laughter is good for you.
It definitely is. All right, man. What you got? You got anything else, man?
No, I ain't got nothing else, man.
All right, man, let's go ahead and get to the topic.
Let's get it.
All right, man, this week, we're going to talk about a topic that's near and dear to my heart. It's about not letting your past define you. This is the number one thing that derails past. People that use their past as a means to deter them from doing anything else has stopped people from probably being multimillionaires, and superstars, being a pro athlete, being successful in everyday life, or even waking up the next day. Because some people in their past define them totally, man, in every aspect of their life, man. If they made one mistake in their past, from then on out, they consider themselves a failure. I'll give y'all a story, man. When I was a kid, I don't even know what they call that shit, but I was on like the sing squad or whatever in middle school. Yeah, that was some pansy shit I was in. Yeah, y'all go ahead and talk about me. Yeah, I was on some fuckboy shit in middle school. So, all right. Well, yeah, man, I was part of this little like this singing choir or whatever. And we went to this middle school and we went to go sing. And everybody had a solo. I had my solo. And come to find out, my mic was off on my solo. And so when I went to go sing my part, I said, and I said like the first part of the song, and then I said my mic off, and then everybody was like, da 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 da. And I was like, hold on, man, I'm throwing y'all my mic off. And then like I start crying like a little bitch because I was just a little kid. I think I was like, how old was I, man? I was like 11 or 12, man. I started crying. I was like, man, I messed up my solo. And one of the girls walked up to me like, it'll be okay, Eric. And I was like, man, this shit ain't okay. I'm mad. And so I could have let that define me, man, by just being that embarrassed. Because I was embarrassed.
Yeah.
Because I missed that fucking solo. But I didn't let that stop me from, you know, being who I am. I got over it. I looked at it as a mistake that I made, or that somebody set me up by not fucking fixing my mic right. And I just let it went, man. It's like, there's one thing I will that my mom always tells me, man. You have to let stuff go. Yeah. And that shit is so tough to let stuff go, man.
Yeah, it is.
And just like you said earlier about the like with social media in school, like if a girl was like, I know of a story where a girl was cyberbullied at school by all of the students, by pretty much everybody at her school. Put up her photo up on a escort site, had dudes calling her, talking about how much for the services.
Yeah.
Just pretty much just flaming her on Instagram and Twitter. And she had to commit suicide. Cause she was harassed, I think, for like 2 years, and they said the police said they couldn't do anything because they never threatened her. Yeah. Because she was Hispanic, so they weren't gonna do nothing to help her anyway. And that's a raw truth, man. I ain't even trying to play the race card, man. It's just the truth, man. It was a white kid. They would have nipped that shit in the bud some kind of way. But yeah, she committed suicide. So she just let that constant pressure and constant bullying define her. It's almost like letting the past define her by letting people bully you. You can't let any kind of outside factors that have hindered you from the past day mess you up for the next day, man. That's why people love professional athletes and celebrities,
yeah,
to a certain degree, because they're under a certain amount of pressure They're under pressure every single day of their lives, man. They've done some crazy stuff in the past. Like, case in point, Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, yeah.
Robert Downey Jr. used to be a cokehead, man. Nobody knows about that. Nobody knew about that, like, once Iron Man came out. They forgot all about that shit.
Yeah.
He went from lines to dirt.
Yeah.
And I. Yeah. What you about to say?
I was about to say that and, like, how many times he's been in and out of jail.
Yeah. Didn't he molest a kid?
I don't know about all that. He probably did. I wouldn't put it past him.
Somebody molested a kid. Now he back doing movies, man. See, man? See, guys? You know what I'm saying? If you just, you know, if you have a talent, you can do whatever the hell you want to in this country. The past means nothing. But you know, for the regular Joseph, man... You can't let outside forces or even your mistakes that you've done in the past. Let's say you used to be like a hoe and you're a female or a male hoe. You used to be like slinging pussy or slinging dick your whole life in the past. Like, who's to say you can't turn around and become a monk or what is it? A nun.
Well, I'm about to say I wouldn't go that far. How about just stopping for a while?
No.
how about just you know, getting a grip on your life for a while? Like, you telling people to do 180s, eh?
Yeah, like, that's T time. Like, let's go ahead and try to make this 75-degree turn. Let's just try to get a great crack. Dick's out your mouth, sweetie. Let's see, you're a fucking idiot. I'm talking about that now. Well, yeah, let's just, man, like, everybody's made mistakes in the past. Like, some people used to be drug addicts, man. Just because you're a hardcore drug addict in the past doesn't mean you can't fix your future. According to me, I'm about ST now. Don't let societal pressure dictate that you can't be something just because your past was fucked up.
Yeah.
You that shit a lot, man, especially with felons. Like, people that have been in jail for, like minor drug charges. Or, you know, like, some stuff's inexcusable, like murder and all that, right? Or, like, robbery. But, you know, the dude, the gentleman or, you know, the female have done their time. You know, I believe in second chances, man. And some of those fellas have turned, like, their past flipped their past around. I know one fella that was in jail for robbery. Like, in Compton, they have their own little restaurant, because how they got started was they would pretty much, like, make food at home and then take pictures of it on Instagram. And people were like, man, that shit look good, man, you should sell it. And then they start selling it, and the shit, they're like, it looked as good as it tastes. It tastes as good as it looked or whatever. And so they had like two branches. They had one in Crenshaw and one in Oakland. And it was two brothers that was in jail for 10 years, man, so they put their life around. That's a prime definition, not letting your past define you. And not soaking in the past. That's the one thing, man, I hate that we do, because people do it all the time. They use that, like, hurt or anger that they had in the past as a crutch on why they can't progress in the future.
Exactly.
Which is pretty much just their laziness or them not want to put forth the effort to or want to do something, man. That's another thing.
Yeah. I mean, you know, another prime example of that is, you know, what we just talked about earlier with, you know, people in high school who go through things and... You know, like I said, you know, once you get out of high school, you have a whole new life. Like, when you go to college, nobody knows you there. You know, nobody, you know, knows what your story is. Like, it's a chance for you to start over and begin life anew. You know, who knows what you could become when you're willing to let go of the past and allow yourself to invest in your future. So, one thing I've always liked to kind of remind myself with is, don't live in the rearview mirror. Because when you are constantly looking in your rearview mirror, you have less chances to see how bright your future can be when you look through the front windshield. So stop looking in that rearview mirror.
That's very profound, man.
There's nothing you can do about it. It's gone. It's a new day. It's a chance for you to do something great with your life. Get on with it.
Get on with it, man. Yeah, if you used to be like a scumbag in the past, and you used to, you know, bang a whole bunch of bras and tell them lies, and now, like, that shit catching up with you, you know what you gotta do? You gotta own up to that shit, man. Own up to your past discretion, man, because it's gonna catch up with you anyway.
Yeah.
So own up to it. Say, hey, my past no longer defines me. I'm a good man. And that new woman or whatever man that you with, that you end up getting with, man, you have to just prove it to them because of what you've been through. So that'll make you a strong person as well by proving to them that you have changed. And that shows that you've grown over that time. And it makes you feel better about yourself. That's the one thing that we all want in this world. We just want, man, pretty much all people want in this world is somebody just to notice them, man.
Yeah.
In the end.
To be loved or accepted.
To be loved, exactly. That's all people want in the end, man. They just want people, like I said, 80% of this world just wants attention.
Mm.
And that's the only way they can really validate their lives because there's just so many people on this planet. They just want to just be recognized just for a little bit, little while. That's why you see people on you know, World Star Hip Hop fighting or, you know, dudes trying to do stand-up jokes in their apartment. You know what I'm saying? Ain't got no bed, got no damn bed frame. We just got like a box spring and a mattress. Not trying to focus on themselves, just focusing on attention and stuff like that, man. That's all we really, truly care about, man. We don't care about anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, but it's been a whole bunch of things that's happened to me in my past, man, that I've been embarrassed about. That I don't let get to me or define me to this day.
Yeah.
But I have 5 pieces of advice to help you let go of your mistakes. Number one, there are no mistakes, only lessons.
Mm.
Let that sink in. I'm going to say this shit again. There are no mistakes, only lessons. If you take that approach to everything in life, that when I make a mistake, it's a lesson that can be learned, then you become better for it instantaneously. And that's another thing that we don't do. We don't take a third-person view of our own lives to say, hey, what could I have done better in this situation? And not be like, hey, why this person fucked me over?
Yeah.
Or why haven't I got this promotion at this job? Or why is he or she cheating on me? Sometimes you got to look within yourself, man. Sometimes you're the reason why you're in that situation, why you made a mistake, and you need to learn that lesson. And this is another thing that I've done. Like that, man, this beginning of this year and like a little bit of last year, man, I just been reading about famous people and the mistakes they made and how they rectified it, so I won't make that same mistake. And a lot of people don't do that, man. We've had billions and billions of people on this earth before us, man. We need to learn from their mistakes so we won't have to make them, so we won't waste time.
Yep.
Especially when it comes to business or even with dating.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, there's nothing wrong with like reading dating advice books or, you know, going following like a dating advisor or a player special or a Mac, whatever, by following them and listening to what they have to say, and don't be like, hey, I know it already. I ain't gotta worry about this. You know what I'm saying? And then you end up being fucked up, like, man, dang, man, why this didn't work? Like, why you didn't research it? Why you didn't research it first, man? Because I'm telling y'all, the information's out there. Any situation that anybody has gotten in up to this point, it's happened to somebody else already. And if you would have taken the time to have done your research and seen how this person maneuvered in the situation, what their thought process was to why this happened and how they could have fixed it, then you wouldn't have had to go through it.
Well, you know, as they say, you know, learn from history or you're doomed to repeat it.
Exactly. And then number two on the advice on to help you get through your mistakes is we go through our mistakes. Just don't make a mistake or have something bad happen to you and just be like, all right, whatever, man. It was just bad luck. Please take the time to sit up and self-reflect and be like, hey, man, how could I grow from this? How could I get better? How could this not happen to me again so I could be okay in the future, man? That's the same thing as far as what scientists do. Pretty much it's like what trial and error, what scientists do every single day, man. And that's how they come up with cures for, you know, different things that they'll never get out, like cancer and AIDS and Ebola and all that shit. It's all trial and error, man. They try one variance of trying to cure a disease one way. If that doesn't work, they learn from that, they write it down, and then they go and try something else. They just don't try to keep running their shit into the wall. Just like, what's that definition of insanity, ST?
Doing something over and over, expecting a different outcome.
Different outcome, exactly, yeah. So just don't be that person where you're just like, hey, I'm going to do the same thing over and over again, and this time it'll work just because I'm going to will it to work. Yeah. That shit don't work like that, man. Number three, the biggest mistake you can make is being afraid to make one.
Mm.
That's another thing, man.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's okay to make mistakes. This is what I've learned from the most successful people in this world. Everything they ever done came with a risk.
Mm-hmm.
I know the founders of FedEx, he took his life savings to Vegas and flipped it. And that's how he got FedEx. That's exactly how he got FedEx started. So he took a risk. He took all his money.
That's a
huge risk, man. It worked for him. Now he's sitting up good with a fucking golden parachute.
Yeah.
Dude, sometimes you gotta take the risk, man. Zuckerberg quit college. The risk that he took, if you can call that shit, if you can fucking call that shit a risk, quit.
Yeah, I'm about to say he kind of stole his fortune too, though.
Yep. Who else took risk? Even though we talked bad about him, Diddy took risk.
Yeah.
He took a risk He took a risk on Notorious B.I.G. and it paid off for him.
Yeah.
He put money behind him, man. He made him millions, and then he took down his. He took away his risk by to using everybody else. But yeah, just right now I'm researching, man, finance and investing, and the number one thing I keep reading about in successful people, I'm reading a book called Intelligent Investors, and the thing they keep beating people over the head in the book is you have to take risk in life, but learn how to manage your risk.
Yeah.
I hear that statement all the time, man, reading like self-help books, motivational books, or just books on how to invest your money, or just how to start up a stock portfolio. It's all about you must take risk, but you need to know how to manage them.
Yeah. Basically what they're saying is be willing to try.
Boom. That's it. Man, it's okay, man. Everybody loves being comfortable, man. Once you get into your groove, because I'm not gonna lie, I have a groove, man. Every time I go to work, I take the same way to work. This is just an example. I take the same way to work, and then when I'm coming back home from working out, I take the same way coming back home working out because I'm just used to it, and I know that's the fast way for me to get home.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you have to try to. That's probably why I don't really like. Really haven't really explored Atlanta like I should, because I go to like to my little comfort spots. I go to Ponce a lot, Ponce de Leon a lot. I go up to Lenox area a lot, go to Buckhead area a lot. Shit. I might go to North Point. Where is that fucking mall? North Point Mall.
Yeah.
I might go like to Alpharetta. And y'all see all these areas are heavily populated with Caucasian people.
I was about to say, you go to SWATs, nigga.
Yeah, man. I ain't been to West End, man. That's I gotta go to West End, dog. I ain't going over there unless I got to. Y'all mean? Like, for real, man. I got to, man. But, yeah, dude, like, sometimes I step out of the comfort zone, man. That's why, like, I end up going to, like, my same, like, you end up going to your same restaurants. You always go, and it's on, like, a lower level example, y'all. Like, I always, like, end up either going, like, Fogo de Chao, like, when I want to go out with, if I go on a date or I go out like, with my sister or my mother, like, I'll take them, like, Fogo de Chao, like, Mary Mac, or we'll, like, go to Shake Shack, cause we just, like, start eating there. We'll always, like, just end up going to our same spots. Like, ST and I took a risk by doing this podcast, cause we really didn't have to do it. We spent our time doing some other shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And just, like, these dudes that I follow on YouTube, they were claim adjusters, and they got fired for doing YouTube videos, and they went like knee deep into YouTube videos, and now they support themselves off of YouTube. When they could have just been like, hey man, I'm gonna go ahead and just do the safe thing and try to find another job.
Yeah.
Instead of taking that risk of going on YouTube and just hoping people click on that video and watch the whole ad without skipping it so they can get paid.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of it, you know, taking that risk, man, it's also about, you know, stepping out on faith, man.
Yep.
A lot of it, you have to be willing to see the outcome and live it in your brain over and over. Like, you have to be willing to see the bigger picture. You have to be willing to, you know, throw caution to the wind sometimes. Because a lot of the times, man, especially if you want to be, you know, successful, like, beyond, you know, I guess your wildest dream, like, that's what you have to do. Like, you have to step out. On, you know, beyond anyone else's thinking. Like you have to be willing to do something that other people would, categorize as, I guess, weird or non-conventional. Because if you don't, you'll sit around, you'll wonder, what if?
Yeah. The great Muhammad Ali said, if your dreams don't scare you, then they aren't big enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. You got to dream big, man. You only get one life to live. Do you seriously want to end up, you know, Lord willing, end up being like 80 years old, sitting back here in life and be like, hey, man, I played it safe my whole life. I played it safe with my wife. I played it safe with my job. I played it safe. I played it safe with the place that we went to. I never left this country. I haven't even seen half of this country. I never even hardly even traveled because I just want to stay in my little bubble, man. I fucked up. Boop. Like, that shit happens to a lot of people, man. A lot of people have not traveled overseas. A lot of people have not talked to somebody that they think they're out of their league. They always just play it safe. They never try to, like, you know, talk to somebody. You know, some people care about that shit, man. Or
yeah, they do.
It's like, man, I want me a dime. But in certain circumstances where they'd be like, hey, man, my nose too big, or I got freckles on my inner thigh, or I'm too dark, or too light, or whatever, man. Just so you want to talk to that different person. Like, you messing, you never know, that person might like who you are.
Yeah.
Who you are, man, you gotta take chances, man. Like, you should take risk in your life at least
twice a week.
At least twice a week. I was about to say five times a month. But yeah, at least twice a week. Just take different risks in your life. Do something that makes you uncomfortable, man.
Yeah.
At least twice a week, man. If it's a female that just looks good and walk by, man, you know what I'm saying? Go ahead and put your bid in, man. And
shoot your shot.
Shoot your shot, man. She say, yeah, it's good, you know, dip and rip, you know, be out.
And she don't tell her, eat a dick.
Eat a dick. And tell her she ain't cute no way. And then she be like, why you come up to me? And you be like, ugh. You call her a bitch and shit and all that. Like, don't get to that point. But she, you know what I'm saying? Like, man, like, if you see a worthwhile investment, man, throw some money into it. You never know what it might turn into.
Yeah.
Like, people understand, man. You have to. You can't play it safe your whole life. Your life will be boring.
Oh, yeah. Like, just think about the risk that, you know, the people on Wall Street took, man.
They take risk every fucking day.
Yeah. Like, in the beginning, just think about what, you know, what risk, like, when stocks were first invented. Okay. Like, just think about, you know, how crazy people were going, you know, just to think about, you know, how much money of their own life savings that they were thinking about putting into this stock, you know, whether or not they should do it. And like, you look at the billionaires now, and if you go and ask some of the billionaires about, you know, what they did when they first started doing it, I guarantee you at least 90% of them will probably tell you that they would have did it earlier than they did when they first got into it.
Yep. Yeah, dude, cause they know, man, closed mouths don't get fed.
No.
They don't, dude. Like, if it's something that you want to go achieve it, man. And that goes for our fourth piece of advice. It's sometimes mistakes lead to breakthroughs.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, dude, sometimes you can stumble upon some shit, man. Like, you can be just doing something random, and you can stumble upon, like, a multi-million-dollar idea.
Yeah. Well, just like you said, you know, earlier, as far as curing disease, you know, a lot of it is trial and error. And usually when you make an error, like, you'll find out, oh, wait a minute, let me cross-pollinate these two atoms and see why it split like it did. Maybe I can figure out how to, you know, I don't know, cure, you know, hepatitis C or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. And somebody like, what about hepatitis A? kill my shit. Yeah. What? Yeah, dude. Just like, man, prime example, man. Shit. Prime example. That's how Viagra got created. Cause you know Viagra was supposed to be a blood pressure pill.
I can believe that.
Yeah, but yeah. At first, that was a patent. The patent was for to help people with high blood pressure, and that shit ended up being a dick pill. And now they make it. Now they billionaires.
Yeah.
See, that mistake, dude, the mistake they made was, ended up being the breakthrough, dude. So I'm telling you, man, if you have a crazy idea for a screenplay or a script, and you've been sitting on it for so long, that's a sign, motherfucker, write that shit down. You have, like, look at your phone. Everybody has an iPhone or a Samsung or a Galaxy where it has a note, it's a notepad in it. Start writing your thoughts in that. And then, you know what I'm saying, get that shit, like, copyrighted and, like, man, like, send that shit out to studios or put it up on the internet and see how it works, see if it becomes popular. Then you can get you a quick payday, man. People just don't understand that your ideas may seem foolhardy to you, but it might be a multi-million idea to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, dude.
Or if it doesn't work for you, you know, you can hand it off to the next person, and it, you know, that the error that you had could be, it could strike gold with the next person.
Exactly, man, because you know how Hollywood scripts are made, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because in Hollywood scripts, there's multiple drafts to a script in Hollywood. So they'll bring somebody in to write the pretty much the first draft. Then they'll have a group of writers that will end up either keeping that writer on and start the first draft, or they'll hire another writer just to write the second or third draft of the movie or the script until they get it perfectly right for the director and the producers that liked it. And I know for the Book of Eli, the guy that wrote the Book of Eli wrote the first draft of the book of the script. And then he was never seen from again for like 8 months. And that script was revised 5 times after that. Yeah, dude. So you can get your idea started, and then you can have somebody else help you all the way through. But, you know, it's just starting that idea or that quote unquote mistake. People think even doing little things like putting your ideas down or just trying to start a business is a big mistake because they're going to lose a whole bunch of money. Not knowing they can lead them to financial independence. And that's what we all need to strive for, y'all. Yeah. Everybody needs to strive for that, man. And then the last thing, as far as advice to help you get through your mistakes or your past is, like we said before, man, your mistakes do not define you. They don't. Mm. Every day you wake up, man, you're a totally different person than you want to be. Or you can, it's like, we're just like blocks of clay, man. Every day you can shape yourself into who you want to be for the rest of your life. And then, like, that old adage, man, you can't teach an old dog a new trick. I don't truly believe that. I don't either. If a person is willing to inherently change, they can change.
Yeah. And the simple fact that, you know, as we said before, if you're not learning something every day, then you're dying. So.
You are.
You know, there's no such thing as an old dog not learning new tricks.
Oh, man, never, man. Well, that's pretty much my 2 cents about not letting your past define you, man. You got anything else, ST?
Nah, man. That's I think we pretty much said it all.
Hey, we said this shit off, man. You know, another week of that hot fire, man. You know what I'm saying? If y'all love us, y'all please spread the word and let everybody know about our show, man. You know, we trying to put this work every single week, man. We love y'all support, man. We see y'all support on iTunes, man. We especially iTunes. We thank you so much, man, for downloading the episodes and continue to be there and continue to subscribe, man. We love y'all.
Yes.
Hit us, man. Please hit us up on our Twitter at BlakeCampECST. Tell us how we're doing. Say, hey, this episode was awesome. You know, say rate us on iTunes. You know, give us 5 stars. You know what I'm saying? So we can get to more people, and then we can, you know, start getting out more, and you know, so we can all just grow as one big family, man. Go ahead,
sit
a bit home, ST.
All right, y'all. As usual, you know, like we always say, you know, like we always do this tap. No. Ignorance is not a handicap. It's a personal choice. And if there is no light, you must become the light. So be the light, y'all. Once again, you know, hit us up. Let us know what you think. Give us suggestions for the show. You know, tell us what you think. Tell us what you like. Tell us what you don't like. All that, man. But we're going to get up with y'all next week. Episode number 48. We're going to holler at y'all. We love y'all.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to Black Canvas Podcast. We'll see you next week.
Oh, no.